We get into the Word of God. I again want to extend a special welcome to those who are our first-time guests and maybe those who are our second and third-time guests. And we are glad that you're continuing to come back. And again, if this is your first time here and we've not had an opportunity to get to know you, there is the tear-off tab in the bulletin as well as the information under the life of the church and a phone number you can text and send a for a link to be able to fill out that information as well. We would love to get to know you and be able to minister to you in the name of Christ. I'm going to encourage you this morning to turn to the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, starting at verse 14 through verse 20. I believe that you should have that in your bulletin as an insert as well. But we are going to be looking at that. We started a series 2 or 3 weeks ago on salvation. We looked first week at justification, and the salvation is something that's happened in the past as we have been justified by faith, something that is happening now as we are growing in holiness and being sanctified and becoming more and more like Jesus. And then there will be that day when we will be saved because we will see Jesus face to face in all of his glory. And then last week we looked at that great passage in Ephesians, for by grace we are saved through faith, and what it means to be saved through faith by the grace of Jesus. And this morning we are looking at repentance, the first word of the gospel. There's a little boy named Jimmy who was having some trouble pronouncing the letter R, and so his teacher, he gave him a sentence to practice at home. Robert gave Richard a rap in the rib for roasting the rabbit so rare. Whew, I made it through. That's pretty good. Some days later, the teacher asked him to say the sentence for her. Jimmy rattled it off like this. Bob gave Dick a poke in the side for not cooking the bunny enough. He was able to avoid and to evade the letter R. And unfortunately, the letter R gets avoided a lot in these days and times, the word repentance. It is not a word that we want to hear. We would much rather hear about being justified by faith and about the grace of God, about his mercy, and about all of those wonderful theological truths of Scripture, which are absolutely true and do not diminish at all and will always be true. But there is a truth about repentance in Scripture that is found throughout Scripture, and how important it is to, and essential it is to salvation, that we know about repentance. When Jesus began preaching in Galilee, as we see in the Gospel of Mark, the very first theme, the very first thing he preached about was repentance, in verse 15. And so if that is the first subject that Jesus brought up when he started preaching, and it was the subject that John brought up when he was preaching, and it is found in Scripture, we need to understand and to know what repentance is, so that as we are journeying through this life, we know how to explain it, we know what it is and how it impacts our lives. So let's take a look at the Gospel of Mark, starting in chapter 1, verse 14. Repentance, the first word of the Gospel. Now, after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the Gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Gospel." And as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brothers of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, they saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. What are these truths about repentance that we need to hear about and to know about this morning? First one is that repentance is necessary and vital to the kingdom of God being fulfilled and to God's purposes being fulfilled. In this brief introduction prior to this passage of Scripture in the Gospel of Mark, we find in verses 4 and 5 that John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And then in verse 5, the country of Judea was going out to him, all the people in Jerusalem, and they were being baptized in the Jordan River, confessing their sin. They were repenting. They were turning. They were confessing their sin, and they were being baptized. And then in verse 7, the scripture shows that John, as he was preaching, was pointing to Jesus in his ministry to come. And then in verses 8 through 11, we see that Jesus was baptized. We see that Jesus was impelled to go into the wilderness. And when he arrived back in verse 14, John had been, after he was taken into custody, Jesus began preaching the gospel, and the time was fulfilled, the kingdom had come, and his first word was, repent. Now, the kingdom in first century Judaism was described kind of as a time in the future, that time when the earthly kingdom was going to be ushered in by God through Israel and would rule over all of the nations. And so when Jesus was preaching that the kingdom of God was present, the kingdom of God was at hand, what he was saying is that as Jesus was coming, Jesus was coming to establish and to bring the kingdom of God to earth. He was coming so that he could establish himself as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which he already was, and so that he could rule and reign in the hearts and lives of people. So when the scripture says that the kingdom of God is at hand, what it is that when Jesus is working and is living within us, the kingdom of God is at hand because he is living and working inside us. And so the kingdom of God was there, Jesus was there, and he is saying, repent. There was a connection between Jesus coming and establishing the kingdom and the need to repent and to turn from all of those beliefs that weren't true, from all of that falling short of God's glory, and to turn to the one who was going to be and was the Savior of the world and who was establishing the kingdom. Jesus claimed by his appearance that the kingdom of God was there. And it was a decisive display of the power of God. God come down from heaven to earth, and he's preaching, repent and believe in the gospel of God. In his book on repentance, Richard Owen Roberts connects the kingdom of God and repentance in this way. He says that repentance is not an entry ticket into the kingdom of God, but it's a condition of citizenship. Repentance is the insider's way of thinking. Most of us are aware that there are still places like weddings and formal dinners where appropriate attire is expected and required. Appropriate attire is not the invitation. It doesn't even guarantee entry, but a condition that must be met. And he goes on to say, consider these propositions. As citizens of the kingdom of darkness, we are not fit subjects of the kingdom of light. Therefore, we must repent. As citizens of the kingdom of this world, we are barred from the citizenship in the kingdom of heaven, for no one can serve two masters. Therefore, we must repent. As citizens of the kingdom of Satan, we have interests and loyalties that have no place in the kingdom of God. Therefore, we must repent. As citizens of the kingdom of death, we can find no place in the kingdom of life, for it is not a place of cadavers or cemeteries. Therefore, we must repent. As active citizens in the kingdom of evil, we cannot be admitted to the kingdom of righteousness, for neither evil nor evil ones are permitted to enter. Therefore, we must repent. As citizens of a perishing kingdom, we have nothing to do with an imperishable kingdom. Therefore, we must repent. And as citizens of the kingdom of flesh, we do not belong in and could not relate to the kingdom of spirit. Therefore, we must repent. When Jesus said that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven were at hand, he was establishing a kingdom of God, and because of God and his perfection, there had to be a way for us to be able to be a part of that kingdom. And that is through Jesus, the Holy One who was sacrificed, as we remember his sacrifice today. And the only way to do that was to repent, to turn from the ways of the world and to turn back toward God. The repentance is necessary so that the purposes of God in establishing the kingdom of heaven here on earth and establishing the kingdom of God could be fulfilled in and through Christ Jesus. And he still wants to do that in our hearts and in our lives and in the lives of those around us today. Jesus wants to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in order to do that, because our hearts are inclined as sinners prior to knowing Jesus towards evil, he needs to establish his kingdom within us. And we do that through trusting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We turn away from our sin and we turn toward the one who paid the price for our sin in Jesus Christ. That is repentance. Repentance is necessary so that the purposes of the kingdom of God can be fulfilled here in and through us. Not only is that true, but repentance is demonstrated by a change in direction. The first word, as we said, of the ministry of Jesus was repent. The first word of John's ministry was repent. The first word of the 12, chapter 6, verse 12, I believe it is, when it says in the scripture that when the 12 were sent out, that they went out and preached that men should what? Preach that men should repent. Are we sensing the theme here? John, Jesus, the 12, you read through Paul's letters and you find repentance throughout. You read through Peter and his preaching and you find repentance. There is a theme that's there, and it is a theme that is throughout the New Testament. Repent and turn. The heart of the gospel message is repentance and to repent. It means a change of mind, a change of heart and behavior. It's when life is moving in the wrong direction. And when it's moving in the wrong direction, when we repent, we are turning from our past. We are turning from all of those things that were sin, all of those things that have not been fruitful or productive, all of those things that are not like Jesus, all of those things that are not like God, and we are turning from them, and we are turning towards the one who can give us new life and new direction. God offered us a new direction in Jesus Christ, and all he wants us to do is to turn away from the old direction and to turn toward the new one. It's making a U-turn, in essence, turning away from sin, turning toward God. And even God offering that new direction was an initiative of his grace and an initiative of his love towards us, that he gave us the option of having Jesus pay the price. And for us to believe that he paid the price and to turn away from sin and to turn towards Jesus. And then we are faced with that decision. We know that Jesus paid it all and all to him we owe. And we see the direction we were headed in the past. And then we have to decide, is it worth turning towards Jesus? When you think about it, if you're navigationally challenged like I am at times, just ask Patty, she'll tell you. And you're heading in the wrong direction, and you keep reading the signs that you're supposed to be going east and you're heading west. You can continue to head west, But it's going to get you nowhere that you want to be. Or you can find some place to turn around and you can head back the other direction. When life is taking you down the road and landing you in a place where no one, where you don't want to be and nobody wants to go, you can continue to make the choice to walk down that road and to travel that direction. Or because of God's grace and His initiative, He is offering you the opportunity to change directions. That's repentance, turning away and turning toward. It's a U-turn. It's turning towards something that's offering you a much better future. You know, we can think of repentance just like we can think of salvation. Repentance from something in the past, our life that is sinful, our life that is leading to the road of destruction. That moment of decision, which direction do I go? We don't want to be like Yogi Berra when he said, when you find a fork in the road, take it. We want to take one direction or the other. And in the future, if we want that glorious future that God has set out for us, that repentance is demonstrated by turning away and turning towards. That future that is something better, that will abandon the past for it and move towards the future. We repent because God has done something wonderful for us and He leaves us this glorious future that we can enjoy and we can embrace because of the gift of repentance. Many of you have probably seen the movie The Blind Side. Sandra Bullock, about the football player Michael Orr. She won, I think, an Academy Award for her portrayal of Leanne Toohey, the mom in that movie. And it chronicles this family in Christ who took in this young homeless man by the name of Michael Orr and gave him a chance to reach his potential. He dodged homelessness. He was able, through a lot of help, to be able to not only graduate from high school, but be able to get a scholarship for football to University of Mississippi and get drafted and land right here in Baltimore for the beginning of his career. She was at a fundraiser at one point after that movie was made, and Sean Toohey, who is the actual husband, noted that the transformation of his family and Michael all started with two words. When they spotted Michael walking along the road on that cold November morning in shorts and a t-shirt, Leanne Toohey uttered two words that changed their world. She said to her husband, Sean, turn around. Turn around. They turned around the car, they put Michael in the car, and ultimately adopted him into the family. God is offering us two words. He's saying to us, turn around. You don't have to be walking in the rain and the cold in November. He's offered us the way to be able to turn around. He's offered us something better. He's saying, repent. Turn around. You don't have to travel down that road. There's something better for you. Turn around. That's repentance. Repentance is vital to the establishment and the understanding of the kingdom of God. Repentance is a turning from. It's a turning around. It's making a U-turn. And then finally, repentance is necessary so we will obey Him without hesitation. I think that we see in this passage of Scripture the overflow of what repentance looks like as Jesus is going along the Sea of Galilee. He sees Simon and he sees Andrew and they're casting their nets, and Jesus said to them, follow me, I'll make you fisher of men. And the Scripture says that they thought about it a little bit and said, I'll get back to you, Jesus. Just making sure you're still with me. Immediately, they left their nets and they followed him. Isn't that what repentance looks like? I think that there is an illustration of repentance in his calling them to come to himself and to follow him, in that we leave what we're doing and we go with him, wherever that may lead. And then he went on a little farther, and he saw James and John, and immediately he called them. And the scripture says that they left their father in the boat with the hired servants. Dad, I'm out of here. I'm going with Jesus. And that's exactly what repentance is and what he wants us to do. He wants us to say, I'm going with you, Jesus, wherever that may lead. Wherever it may lead, we want to follow him without hesitation. Full and complete obedience. Author Eugene Peterson wrote a book on discipleship that I've loved the title of ever since I have heard it, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. That's what the fruit of repentance looks like, is a long obedience in the same direction. Every morning, we're taking the next step and we're following Jesus. That's the fruit of what repentance looks like. We're not deciding, oh yes, I know I need to be heading east, but gosh, it was such a pretty road on the west. I loved all the flowers and the trees. It looked great, so let me go and take a little detour down the west. No, it's the east. The east is going to be beautiful. It's going to be the right direction. It's walking with Jesus, a long obedience in the same direction. They went without hesitation, and they obeyed and followed, and they were used by Jesus to change the world. If we are willing to go with Jesus and obey and to not hesitate, he can work in us and through us to change the world for him, to be salt and light for him, to share the gospel with others for him, to lead others to salvation in him. If we are willing to turn and we are willing to walk and we are willing to obey without hesitation, he can use us. And you, how many of us have sat there and wondered at times, can God really use me? What do I have to offer him? We offer him our obedience and ourself. He will use us wherever we might be. Our offices, our interactions in the community, a chair 5,000 miles away. He will use us as long as we're willing to be obedient. That's what repentance looks like. Repentance looks like that willingness to be obedient. Not many people can say many things better than Charles Spurgeon. And Charles Spurgeon said of repentance, it is not a thing of days and weeks to be got over as fast as possible. No, it is the grace of a lifetime. Like faith itself. That is not true repentance which does not come to faith in Jesus. And that is not true faith in Jesus which is not filled with repentance. To turn from and to turn to him. Repentance is the first word of the gospel. It is the essence of salvation because we are one agreeing with God that our sin is hideous and that we have deserved death and hell as a result of it. And we, for those of us who to know Christ and know Jesus as Lord, we have come to that point when we said, Lord, I understand that choice was the wrong choice. I know I was heading a million miles in the wrong direction, and now I've turned, and I'm heading with you, and I'm walking with you. But there may be some that have never made that choice, some that have never made the choice to follow Jesus. And that choice to follow Jesus can be made today. Repent. The road down that direction may look great, but the road with Jesus will be even better in the long run. If you know Jesus today personally, you've repented, you've turned, you've confessed, you've trusted that he died for you, and had he paid the price, and you've turned towards him and are walking with him, praise the Lord. If you don't know for sure that you have made that choice, this time of invitation would be a great opportunity to consider, Lord, have I truly trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord? Have I made that choice? To repent, to say, God, I agree with sin. Like we shared in the call to worship this morning about, create in me a clean heart, renew your presence, your steadfast spirit within me. Lord, help me to see the folly of my sin. Help me to know that Jesus died and that I can trust you for my future. If you don't know for sure that you've done that, today is the day. There will be time during this invitation to come and pray, to come and ask for Jesus to come into your heart. Time after the service to ask somebody, say, how can I know for sure that I have eternal life and eternal hope? Perhaps there are some other decisions that the Lord is asking you to make today. Decisions about being baptized, decisions about making further steps to be connected with this fellowship. You know, not necessarily decisions that require repentance, but just little taps on the shoulder from God saying, here's this place where I know that I've been talking to you, and now it's time to be obedient. We can make those steps as well. Isn't it good to know that God gives us those opportunities, that he is the God of the second chance, that he is the God that will show us that there is a better way and give us the opportunity to turn that way so that we can embrace all that God has to offer. So as we pray together and as we sing together and we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper together after our invitation, ask the Lord to create in us a clean heart, that everything that we might do before him is holy and acceptable unto him. Repentance is indeed the first word of the gospel of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we ask in the strong and mighty and powerful name of Jesus, if there are some that are here today that don't know Christ personally as Savior and Lord, that have been struggling with sin, that have been walking down the wrong road, and know that it's time to turn and to repent and to come back to you, Father, that you would do so, that you would prompt their spirits. Father, if we know Jesus and we have repented and we are walking with you, Father, help us to use this opportunity to rejoice and to give you thanks for being able, by your grace, to walk in that long obedience in the same direction. Father, speak to our hearts, minister to us through your Holy Spirit. Lead us to respond in the name of Christ as we pray. Amen.